Well, good morning. It's a joy to be with you once again. Last week, we focused on the importance of joy.
上星期我们注重讲的是喜乐的重要性。
And how our faith in Christ should blossom into an unquenchable joy in our lives.
讲到我们在生命中要开出那一些坚不可摧的喜乐之花。
One that's inexpressible and full of glory.
是这样一种说不出来又蛮有荣光的大喜乐。
And this week we're going to look at another thing that we would all hope would be especially evident in this church.
今天这一周我们讲的事情是我们特别盼望我们教会里能够彰显出来的另外一件事情。
In our individual lives.
也是在我们的自己的生命当中。
And in our homes.
在我们的家庭当中。
And that would of course be forgiveness.
当然这件事情就是饶恕。
Of all that's distinctly Christian.
在所有的基督徒与众不同的方面。
This is right up near the top of the list.
饶恕是在最上面的一个。
It's right at the heart of what the gospel is all about.
这是福音的核心。
It's one of the clearest ways we can reflect the gospel in our lives.
也是我们可以用来最清楚的方法来展示我们生命中的福音。
As one pastor put it, man is never more like God than when he forgives.
就像有一个牧师所说的，他说在饶恕人的时候，一个人最接近于神。
Well, our sermon text comes from Matthew chapter 18.
今天的经文呢是马太福音第十八章。
It's part of what is sometimes called the ecclesiological discourse.
这一部分呢是在圣经里作为教会学的教导。
Or the discourse about the church.
这是关于教会的一些教导的事情。
And Matthew's Gospel contains five major discourses by Jesus.
所以呢，马太福音里面有五个重要的教导。
In chapters 5 through 7, there's the Sermon on the Mount.
5到7章是登山宝训。
Which focuses on the ethics of the kingdom.
讲的是天国里的伦理。
In chapter 10, Jesus instructs his 12 apostles before sending them out to preach.
第10章的时候呢，耶稣教导他的12个门徒，然后送他们出去讲道。
And that focuses on the mission of the kingdom.
那部分的中心呢，是天国的使命。In
chapter 13, there's the parables by the sea.
然后在13章的时候呢，是讲在海边的一些比喻。Which
focus on the secret of the kingdom.
讲的呢是天国的秘密。Chapter
18 is the ecclesiological discourse.
然后呢，第18章呢是教会的教导。Which
focuses on relationships within the kingdom.
讲的是在天国里面个人的关系。
And then chapters 23 through 25 are the eschatological or end times discourse.
然后第23到25章是末世论。
Which focuses on the future of the kingdom.
讲的是天国的未来。
Now I point that structure out.
我把这个结构给你们讲。
Because it clarifies that the parable we're looking at today isn't just about forgiveness in general.
是特别要告诉你们，今天我们讲的饶恕不是讲的一般寻常的饶恕。
It's especially focused on how we relate to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ.
而是特别注重于我们应该如何与教会里的弟兄姐妹们来处理关系。
And fellow members of his church.
教会里面的其他的成员们。
Of course, we should be forgiving toward non-Christians as well.
当然我当然知道我们应该饶恕非基督徒们。
But Jesus is especially concerned about the way his own people interact.
但是耶稣特别关心 他自己的人们如何来彼此相处。
He has forgiven us.
他已经饶恕了我们。
He has welcomed each and every one of us into his family.
他已经把我们每一个人都接受进了他的家庭。
And together we bear his name.
所以我们一起承受他的名字。
The way we relate to one another reflects him and his kingdom.
我们如何相处是表现出耶稣的样子和天国的样子。
So he wants to see us living accordingly.
他要我们
Now, if you look back to the beginning of this discourse at the start of chapter 18,
所以如果我们往前面看这18章的开头的时候,
you'll notice that Jesus begins by giving his disciples a lesson about greatness.
你可以看到耶稣告诉他们门徒一个功课关于天国里谁是最大的。
He calls a little child to himself.
他叫来一个小孩子。
To show that unlike the world where greatness is measured by how important people are,
让他们让他的门徒们可以看到，跟世界不同的是，在世上认为有多伟大，是因为人有多重要。
By how gifted they are.
多么的有才能。
By what they can contribute.
他们能够做多少贡献。
Greatness in His kingdom is measured by humility.
与世上不同，在天国里面呢，伟大是由谦卑来彰显出来的。
And therefore, one of the greatest things that we can do is receive one another.
所以呢，一件最重大的事情我们可以做的就是能够接受彼此。
No matter how weak,
不管有多么的软弱
，lowly,
不管有多么的低下
，or immature that other brother or sister may be.
不管我们的弟兄姐妹们是不是不成熟。
Jesus says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me."
耶稣说，凡为我的名接待一个像小孩子的，就是接待我。
But on the other hand, one of the worst things we can do is cause one of these spiritual children to stumble.
然后从另一方面来看的话，我们可以做的最糟的事情就是让这样一个属灵的婴儿来摔倒。
Jesus warns it would be better to have a millstone hung around your neck and be drowned in the sea than to cause one of these little ones who believe in me to sin.
耶稣说，凡使这信我的一个小子跌倒的，倒不如把大磨石挂在这人的颈项上，沉在深海里。
Now how might we do that?
那我们怎么可以做这样的事情呢？
Maybe by acting superior to them?
也许呢，就是显得就是高高在上。
By being impatient with them?
不耐烦。
By excluding them?
把他们排出去。
Or perhaps also by refusing to forgive them.
也包括拒绝饶恕他们。
Notice how just a few verses later, Jesus reminds us that our Father in heaven is like a shepherd with 100 sheep.
要知道在后面的经文里面，马上主耶稣就给了一个比喻，讲那个一个有一百个羊的人。
And what do immature Christians and little sheep do?
大家想一想，如果不成熟的基督徒，他们会常常做什么样的事情呢？
They go astray.
他们会走偏。
But when that one little sheep goes astray, what does God do?
当一个羊走偏的时候，神做什么样的事情呢？
He leaves the 99 to go and find the sheep.
他撇下99只羊，去找那只迷路的羊。
And Jesus says that when he finds it,
耶稣说，若是找到了。
He rejoices with more joy over that one sheep that had gone astray.
他为这一只羊欢喜，比为那没有迷路的99只欢喜还大。
Than over the 99 that never went astray.
比那个99个没有走丢的他还要开心。
And that's because, Jesus says,
这是因为耶稣说道
It's not the Father's will that even one of his little ones should perish.
你们在天上的父也是这样，不愿意这小子里失上一个。
Every single sheep is precious to God.
每一个羊都是神所珍视的。
And therefore, every single person in the church should be precious to you and me.
所以在教会里面的每一个人，对我们来说都是宝贵的。
And the way that we relate to one another matters so much to God.
我们彼此的相处对神是有很重要的意义。
Even more than the way your own children relate to one another.
比你的孩子们彼此如何相处还要重要。
God wants us to accept.
神要我们彼此接受。
To be patient.
彼此耐心。
And to forgive one another.
彼此饶恕。
Now in verses 15 through 20, Jesus gives some instructions for what to do when someone sins against you.
所以呢，在15到20节的时候呢，耶稣呢给了他们特别清晰的指令，跟他们说，如果有人得罪你的时候，你该怎么做。
He recognizes that sooner or later there will be sin and conflict in the church.
因为耶稣清清楚楚地认识到，早晚的时候在教会里面就会有罪，也会有冲突。
And he doesn't expect us to just ignore it.
他叫我们不要忽视这些事情。
He lays out the process that we call church discipline.
他给我们一个叫教会惩戒的一个程序，我们可以做。
Because his kingdom is for repentant sinners.
因为他的天国是归于能够悔改之后的人才行。
But unrepentant sin is not to be allowed.
没有悔改的罪在天国里是不允许。
But the amazing thing.
但是奇妙的是。
And the thing that obviously stood out to Peter based on his question in verse 21.
这个让彼得，因为彼得问的在第二十一节问的问题就表现出彼得是被惊讶到。
Is that after someone sins, if they repent,
就是说当有人犯罪但是悔改之后
,they're not to be punished,
居然没有惩罚
,they're not to be kicked out,
没有被赶出
,they're to be welcomed and forgiven,
而是被欢迎被饶恕。
Notice that Jesus says in verse 15,
注意到这里耶稣说道,
If he listens to you, you've gained or won your brother.
他若听你, 你便得了你的弟兄。
So that's the attitude with which we're to confront sin.
这是我们对付罪的时候的根本的态度。
Not to punish or get even.
不是去惩罚或者去扯平。
But to win our brother back.
而是把我们的弟兄赢回到天国里。
And as I said, this sets up Peter's question at the start of our passage this morning.
所以呢，这些事情呢，就是彼得问题的之后的背景。
Peter realizes that this process demands forgiveness.
因为彼得认识到这个过程里面需要饶恕。
And so as we walk through the passage, we're going to look at Peter's question.
所以今天呢，我们先看彼得的问题。
Jesus's answer.
然后耶稣的回答。
The parable.
一个比喻。
And then a warning.
然后一个警告。
And then we'll come back at the end to some points of application.
然后最后结束的时候，我们讲一讲我们自己的应用。
So first, the question in verse 21.
第一是21节里面的问题。
Peter asks, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?
彼得问道。
As many as 7 times?
主啊，我弟兄得罪我，我当饶恕他几次呢？到七次可以吗？
And I think Peter's essentially making an argument to absurdity here.
其实这里彼得是用一种讽刺的方法来讲，他说这是一件很荒唐的事情。
It's surprising enough to have to forgive once.
他觉得饶恕一次已经很不容易了。
But to do it repeatedly seems outrageous.
如果要重复的这样做是很离谱的。
Up to 7 times, Peter asks.
他说要七次吗？
As if that's just a ridiculous amount.
他觉得这是非常荒诞离谱的一个数量。
Now before we shake our heads at Peter, let's think about this.
在我们嘲笑彼得之前，我们自己先想一想。
To be expected to forgive is a shocking thing.
被期望来饶恕别人是一个非常震惊人的事情。
It's kind of like being expected to hurt yourself.
就好像说每个人都应该自我伤害一样。
It's being expected to cancel a debt that was owed to you.
就好像跟别人说你欠我的钱不用还。
It means absorbing the cost yourself.
自己来承担这些的问题。
No earthly legal system expects this.
世上的那个法律系统可不是这个样子。
Can you imagine if a law was given that if someone stole your car and crashed it?
我们想一想，如果有这样一个法律，有人偷了你的车，然后撞到树上，撞坏了。
You are expected to just forgive the debt.
法律说你不能够去告他，你可以饶恕他。
Would that not strike you as wrong?
不管他做错了。
Would you not be like Peter?
如果这个事情发生在你身上，你会像彼得一样的发怒。
Asking, and how many times am I supposed to keep on doing that?
这样荒诞的事情我要做多少遍呢？
Yet as Jesus here is talking about his kingdom.
但是在这里，耶稣讲的是天国的。
And the way his citizens are to relate to one another.
这是他天国的子民里应该做的事情。
This is what he's commanding.
这是他的命令。
And so let's look at Jesus' answer to Peter's question.
让我们来看耶稣对彼得的回答。
Verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times.
耶稣说，我对你说，不是到七次，乃是到七十个七次。
Or you could translate this 70 times 7.
这里翻译可以翻译成七十乘上七。
And of course, the point isn't that you count to 77, and then on the 78th time, you don't have to forgive.
这里当然讲的意思并不是说，我原谅了七十七次之后，第七十八次的时候就不用原谅了。
Obviously, it's a rhetorical way of saying there's no limit.
这是耶稣用委婉的方法说出来，这个饶恕是没有尽头。
And can you imagine the shock on Peter's face when he hears this?
你能够想象彼得脸上的震惊吗？
He thought 7 was a ridiculous number.
他觉得七已经很可笑了。
Try 77.
居然七十个七次。
And you know, this passage is so familiar to many of us that sometimes we forget just how radical what Jesus is saying here really is.
让我们来想一想，因为这段经文对我们是如此的熟悉，有的时候我们已经忘记了耶稣的命令有多么的激进，不可思议。
This is a weighty thing.
这是很重的一件事情。
Jesus is demanding that we absorb wrong against ourselves again and again and again.
耶稣的命令是让我们承受对我们的不公正一次一次再一次。
Now why is that?
为什么是这样呢？
How is this right?
这怎么可能是正确的呢？
Well, I think that's why Jesus tells us a parable to illustrate.
所以呢，耶稣就用一个比喻来 解释他的命令。
Let's look thirdly at the parable in verses 23 through 34.
所以我们的第三步呢，是我们在23到34节当中看这个比喻的故事。
And of course, a parable is a fabricated story meant to illustrate a spiritual point.
我们都知道啊，这种比喻呢是一个故事，它的根本的目的呢是来解释一个属灵的要点。
And in the story, there's a king, a servant, and a fellow servant.
所以在这个故事里面呢，有一个王，有一个仆人，还有一个另外一个仆人。
And it turns out that the servant owes the king 10,000 talents.
所以呢，第一个仆人呢，欠了这个王1,000,000 银子。
Now, a talent was equal to 6,000 denarii.
所以1,000,000 银子呢，是6,000 denarii.
And a denarii was equal to a day's wage.
一个 denarii 呢，就是一天的工资。
So 10,000 talents is an astronomical debt.
所以1,000,000 银子是一个天文数字。
It's equal to about 200,000 years of labor.
所以呢，一共是要二十万年的工资才能够凑得足。
So it would take about 4,000 lifetimes to pay off this debt.
所以如果一个人能够活四十几年的话，工作四十几年的话，大概要4,000 lifetime， 生命才能够还得清。
In modern terms, if you assumed a $50,000 annual salary.
所以在我们现在这个时候，如果我们想是一年50,000的工资的话。
This is $10 billion.
这是100亿美元。
And if it weren't a parable,
如果这个不是一个比喻的话，
we'd be wondering how in the world did this guy rack up this debt.
我们就开始胡思乱想了，想这个人怎么欠了这么多钱？
And why on earth did the king loan him so much?
那这个王干嘛要借他这么多钱呢？
But of course, it is a parable.
当然了，这是一个比喻。
And it's not supposed to be realistic, but representative.
所以的目的呢，并不是为了真实性，而是为了那个表明一件事情。
And of course, the point is the king represents God and the servant represents us.
所以这里关键点是我们要记得这个王表示的是神，这个仆人表示是我们。
And the debt is so outrageously high because that's what our own sin before God is like.
之所以这个罪是这样这个债是这样一个天文数字，因为我们的罪在神的面前也是如此。
In fact, we owe far more than 200,000 years could pay for.
如果我们真的思考的话，我们欠呢要远远比这么多的钱还要多。
Our sin deserves an eternity in hell.
因为我们罪的工价是永远在地狱里。
And that's because we've sinned against the Lord of glory.
因为我们违背了、冒犯了荣耀的神。
We've committed high treason against the King of Kings.
我们在万王之王当中里面犯了叛国罪。
And the greatness of a crime is measured in part by the greatness of the one it's perpetrated against.
所以我们的罪的大小，很大一部分是根据我们对谁犯下而定。
You see, it's wrong to abuse a pet dog.
你可以想一想，如果我们虐待一个宠物狗是不好的。
It's far worse to abuse a child.
但是如果我们虐待小孩子，就是更糟的事情。
Well, just think about how much worse it is than to sin against God himself.
那你想一想，如果我们冒犯神，这是多么大的罪。
To harm a child is such a great crime because that child was created in the image of God.
虐待小孩是罪，是因为小孩子是照神的形象造。
Our value comes from the way we reflect God.
我们的价值观是看如何来我们看待神。
But God is infinitely greater than any of us.
但是神是比我们每一个人都是无比大的，要更伟大。
And he is the one against whom we have sinned.
而这是我们所冒犯的。
That's why our debt is so great.
这是为什么我们的债有多么的大。
And in the parable, when the king prepares to hold his servant responsible for his debt.
所以在这个比喻里面呢，当这个神准备着让这个仆人来付他的债的时候，
the servant falls down before him and begs for mercy.
他跪下求他怜悯。
He says, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything."
他说：“主啊，宽容我，将来我都要还清。”
Now, of course, that's impossible.
我们要记得这是不可能的。
Right? These are the empty promises of a desperate man begging for his life.
这明明就是一个走投无路的人用空话来求饶保命。
And yet, amazingly, the king has pity.
但是奇妙的是，这个王居然有怜悯。
Releases him and forgives the debt.
把他放掉了，并且饶恕了他的债。
The king says, "You don't have to pay me back."
那个王说：“你不用付偿还了。”
I'll absorb the cost and you can go free.
我来承担你的罪债，你可以自由地走。
I mean, this is just amazing, shocking mercy.
这是非常奇妙，让人震惊的怜悯。
And of course, it represents God's grace to us through the gospel.
当然，这里表达的当然就是神通过福音给我们的恩典。
God freely forgives all our sin.
神白白地饶恕了我们的罪。
Charges us nothing in return.
没有叫我们偿还，为我们的罪而偿还。
And in fact, God chooses to absorb the penalty himself.
而反过来，神把这些罪责都放在他自己的身上。
Through Jesus dying on the cross.
通过主耶稣，他死在十字架上。
And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, if you're here today and are not a Christian,
如果你在这里，你不是一个基督徒的话。
This is the offer of mercy to you.
这是神白白给，也是神白白给你的。
If you like this servant, fall down before God and beg him for mercy.
如果你能像这个仆人一样，能够跪在神的面前求饶恕的话。
He is a God who forgives.
他是一个饶恕的神。
And you can look to Christ dying on the cross.
你可以看着十字架的基督。
To see your sin debt being paid.
来看到你的罪债已经被还清了。
And absorbed by God himself.
而是神自己承受的。
Now the parable continues by introducing another servant.
然后呢，这个比喻接着往下走，就来了一个新的仆人。
Who owes the first servant 100 denarii.
这第二个仆人呢，欠第一个仆人100个 denarii.
And a denarii is a day's wage, so this is a significant debt.
大家记住了，一个 denarii 是一天的那个工资，所以是100天的工资。
Of course, it's minuscule compared to the 10,000 talents.
当然，这一点点的钱比起那个1000万两银子算不了什么。
But it's about a third of an annual salary.
但这是一个人四个月的工资。
It may be like someone owing you a car.
比如说就像有人欠你一辆汽车。
And the first servant goes to the servant who owes him this debt.
所以第一个仆人呢到了第二个仆人面前。
Grabs him by the throat.
抓住他的喉咙。
And says, pay me what you owe.
说 你要把钱还给我。
And the fellow servant falls down before him.
所以第二个仆人呢就跪在他的面前。
And he says, have patience with me and I will pay you.
说宽容我吧，将来我必还清。
And note that this is exactly what the first servant had said to the king.
让我们要注意，这是正是完完全全第一个仆人对王说的话。
The only difference is this servant, if given some time, might actually be able to pay this debt.
但是真正不同的是，其实第二个仆人如果是给他一些时间，他真的是能够还得清。
But unlike the king,
但是跟神王不同的是
，the servant refuses to show mercy.
第一个仆人不愿意给怜悯。
And instead put him in prison until he should pay the debt.
而是把那个人下在监里，一直等他还了所欠的债。
And of course, this would represent us refusing to forgive another.
对我们来说的话，这就相等于我们不愿意饶恕别人的罪。
Well, then Jesus says this was reported to the king.
然后耶稣说这件事情告知了神，告知了王。
And when the king finds out that the servant he had just shown such amazing forgiveness to.
当王知道这个仆人他刚刚给这个仆人给了无法想象的恩典的事恩典的仆人。
Refused to show mercy to another.
居然拒绝对别人有怜悯。
He says, you wicked servant.
他说你这个恶奴才。
I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me.
你央求我我就把你所欠的都免了。
And shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant?
你不应当怜恤你的同伴。
As I had mercy on you.
像我怜悯你吗？
And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt.
主人就大怒，把他交给掌刑的。等他还清了所欠的债。
So the king is outraged.
所以这个王是大怒。
He calls this servant wicked.
他说他是恶奴才。
And he revokes the promise of forgiveness.
他撤销了对他的饶恕。
And sends him to jail.
把他送进了监牢。
And of course the parable is designed to show us that the king is perfectly good and right to do this.
但在这个比喻里面告诉我们的是，我们要知道这王所做的事情是完美无缺的。
It's not the expectation of forgiveness that was outrageous.
这并不是说期望那个饶恕是很荒谬的。
It's the refusal of the forgiven man to forgive.
我们要记住的是，如果 我们拒绝饶恕才是荒诞离谱的。
And that brings us to the conclusion of the passage.
这样呢，就让我们来到这一段的结论。
Which is a warning by Jesus that crystallizes the point of the parable.
这里呢，耶稣呢就清清楚楚地讲清楚了这个比喻的意思。
So number four, the warning in verse 35.
所以第四点就是警告，是第35节。
Jesus says, So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart.
耶稣说，你们个人若不从心里饶恕你的弟兄，我天父也要这样待你们。
That is, you will be the ones thrown into jail.
这就是说，你就会被扔进监牢。
Into hell.
进入地狱。
If you, like this servant, don't forgive.
如果你像这第一个仆人一样。
And note the tone here.
我们要注意这里的口气。
This is a deadly serious warning.
这是一个非常严重的警告。
Jesus isn't encouraging us to forgive.
耶稣在这里并不是鼓励建议我们。
He's not just saying that we should forgive.
他甚至说的不是啊，你应该这么做。
He's saying we must forgive.
他说的是你必须饶恕。
Note also that when he says brother,
而且要注意他这里说的是弟兄。
He's still focusing particularly on the community of faith.
他说的是教会里面的弟兄姐妹们。
As I said, of course, we should also forgive non-Christians.
就像前面我说的，当然我们应该饶恕非基督徒们。
But it's particularly egregious if we won't forgive our brother or sister in Christ.
但是我们要知道，这是特别的过分的时候，如果我们不能够饶恕在主里面的弟兄姐妹的话。
Those whom God Himself has already forgiven.
那些神自己已经饶恕的人。
Those for whose sins Christ has already died.
这些人的罪，耶稣已经为他们付清了。
And those we're supposed to relate to.
那些人我们应该是一起彼此相交。
In a way that displays the power of the gospel.
以我们的彼此相爱来彰显出福音的大能。
And the glory of the kingdom of God.
和天国的荣耀。
And then note also that Jesus adds the phrase, from the heart.
我们要注意耶稣加了一个词句，是要从心里。
He's not just demanding a mere outward or formal forgiveness.
他说的并不是个外表的或者一个正式的饶恕。
It's not like when two kids get in a fight and then the adults make them apologize.
像两个小孩打架的时候，大人经常把他两个小孩放在一起。
And they say, "I'm sorry, I forgive you," but they don't really mean it.
一个小孩说我对不起，另外说没关系。其实他们不是这个意思。
No, Jesus commands a real, full, genuine forgiveness from the heart.
所以耶稣这里他的命令是一个真实的完全的诚恳的饶恕从心里发出的饶恕。
And if we were to boil this passage down to a main point, I'd sum it up like this.
如果把这些所有的这些经文都放起来的话这里是我的一个总结点。
Forgive repeatedly and from the heart because God will not forgive our great debt if we refuse to forgive the comparatively small debts of others.
我们必须反复的饶恕，而且是从心里饶恕别人，因为不然的话，神是不会饶恕我们，因为我们因为他饶恕了我们的大罪，我们不能饶恕别人的小罪。
I'll say it one more time: forgive repeatedly and from the heart, because God will not forgive our great debt if we refuse to forgive.The comparatively small debts of others.
好，我再讲一遍，我们要从反复的饶恕，从心里饶恕，因为如果我们不能够饶恕别人的小罪的话，神是不会饶恕我们的大罪。
Now, the time we have left, I want to circle back to some applications.
所以在我们剩下的时间里面，我要回到我们的一些应用。
How do we live this out?
我们怎么来做这样的事情？
What should this look like in our lives?
这在我们的生命里应该是怎么样的?
Well, point number one, this shows us that we must forgive because God has forgiven us.
第一点说，我们饶恕是因为是因为神已经饶恕了我。
And this is so obvious.
因为这是很明显的事情。
But we lose sight of it so easily.
但是我们经常就很容易就忘记了。
How often do we say things like,
有的时候我们就会说下面的这些事情。
I don't think he's really sorry enough for what he did.
我觉得他没有真的那个道歉的意思。
She will never understand the hurt she's caused me.
他根本就不知道他让我有多么的伤心。
He's already done it before, and now he's done it again.
他原来做过，现在又做这样的事情。
And we use these as justifications to withhold forgiveness.
我们用这些作为不饶恕的理由。
But what we're really doing is basing the reason to forgive not on God's forgiveness of us.
但是我们要注意的，我们这些理由都不是基于神对我们的饶恕上面。
But on some qualifications the other person must meet.
而是基于那个人的一些行为来决定。
But this parable shows us that God's forgiveness in Christ should be reason enough.
但是这个比喻讲的意思，神对我们的饶恕就已经应该是足够。
You see, if you take out the part about the king forgiving the servant the 10,000 talents,
所以如果我们想一下，如果我们把那个王饶恕1,000万两银子那些钱拿掉之后的话，
And it was just about the fellow servant owing him the 100 denarii,
这个比喻里唯一的故事就是说第二个人欠第一个人100块钱。
There might be all sorts of reasons why we might think he was justified in not forgiving the 100 denarii.
在这个情况之下，我们就会觉得这个欠债还钱是很正常的事情。
But once you include the part that he had just been forgiven of a 600,000 times greater debt,
但一旦我们知道第一个仆人刚被饶恕了60万倍的债，
all of a sudden it's outrageous that he doesn't forgive.
这就变得非常荒谬了，他为什么不能够饶恕？
I mean, how could he not show mercy after the mercy he just received?
他怎么可能不显露出这么小小的那个怜悯，因为他得了这么大的怜悯。
So what about us?
这跟我们怎么看呢？
You know, are we forgiving because God has forgiven us so much more than anything anyone else has done to us?
我们饶恕的原因难道不应该是因为神对我们的这样的饶恕吗？
Or do we add additional conditions on top of that?
难道我们要加上新的条件吗？
Now some of you might be asking the question, but what if they're not repentant at all?
Well, 有人可能就要问了，如果那些人没有悔改呢？
What if this person isn't even asking for forgiveness?
他不仅不悔改，他根本就没有问的要饶恕的意思。
Because they refuse to admit they did something wrong.
他根本就不承认自己做错了。
And just before this, Jesus was talking about church discipline.
在这之前呢，耶稣讲的是教会惩戒。
You know, didn't he say if they wouldn't listen that they would be removed from the church?
耶稣不是说了吗？如果他们不悔改，要把他们移出教会。
Well, yes, that's true.
当然这是正确的。
But I think we need to distinguish forgiveness from reconciliation.
我们一定要分清楚饶恕跟和好。
You see, reconciliation only happens when there's repentance and forgiveness.
所以和好的需要的两个要点，一个是悔改，一个是饶恕。
And both sides express that to one another.
双方可以来彼此交谈。
One person says, I am sorry for this.
一个人说我错了。
The other side says, I forgive you.
另外一个人说我饶恕你。
Then there's reconciliation.
然后他们就和好了。
Then a relationship has been restored.
然后关系就修复了。
Then trust can begin to be rebuilt.
然后呢，慢慢的信任也可以建立起来。
And note that trust is a process that takes time.
不过大家要记住，建立信任是需要时间的。
But even before reconciliation,
但是在和好之前的时候，
and even before the other person expresses repentance,
在另外一个人能够悔改之前，
there's a forgiveness that must take place in your heart no matter what.
在你的心里面，饶恕就应该已经完成了，不管怎么样。
I mean, even in church discipline, when you go to confront your brother,
就连是在教会惩戒的时候，当你去指出你的弟兄的时候，
you have to have the attitude of I want to gain my brother.
你的态度必须是我需要挽回我的弟兄。
I want to win him.
我要把他赢回天国。
And that means in your heart you've already had to let go of the demand for repayment.
所以在你的心里的时候，你要已经放下你的对他讨还的那个想法。
You've already let go of the demand to get even.
你需要放下你要扯平的那个想法。
The demand to make him feel what he's done to you.
你非要让他觉得他对你做错了什么。
You go to him in love.
但是其实你去的时候应该是带着爱去。
For his own good.
为了他的好处。
And that demands forgiveness.
你这样的一个态度是需要一颗饶恕的心。
So we forgive no matter what.
所以我们不管怎么样都要饶恕。
And it's because we've already been forgiven of far, far more.
因为我们已经被神饶恕了太多太多了。
In fact, the next time you feel wronged,
事实上来看的话, 下次你觉得你被冤枉的时候,
what if you use that as an opportunity to reflect on God's forgiveness of you?
你不生气, 反而用这个机会来反思神对你的饶恕有多么的大。
Because you know, 100 denarii is a big debt.
因为, 100块钱是一个不小的债。
And when someone hurts you, it can be a big deal.
当别人伤害你的时候，确实是一个很大的事情。
But what puts the 100 denarii into perspective is the 10,000 talents.
但是让我们能够看清这100块钱的时候，是那1000万两银子。
It's when you start to meditate on the fact that no matter how deeply they've hurt you, your sin against God is far, far worse.
让我们要记住，让我们要反思，不管别人对我们的得罪多么的大，这跟我们得罪神来比是小得多得多。
And the more deeply you feel the hurt of what they've done to you,
你越是感到他们对你的伤害,
the more you can appreciate how great your sin is against God,
你就更能够知道你的罪对神有多么大的冒犯。
And the more you can be filled with awe and wonder at His forgiveness.
你越是自己只要罪犯多大, 你就越来知道神的恩典有多么的大。
Realizing that God paid for your sin.
你要记住, 神为你付上了罪价。
He has loved us so much.
他有这么的爱我们。
He willingly, freely paid our debt.
他自愿的为我们付上了罪价。
And forgave.
饶恕了我们。
And it's when we think about the gospel,
这是让我们想到这个福音的时候,
we become free to forgive.
我们就可以自由地饶恕。
We realize, how could I not forgive?
我们就会想到我们怎么可能不饶恕呢?
I'm the servant in the parable.
我是那个比喻里面的那个仆人。
I've been forgiven 10,000 talents.
我已经被免了1000万两的银子。
What difference can the 100 denarii make?
那几块钱能算得了什么呢?
And so then it transforms our lives.
这会完完全全地改变我们的生命。
We should become more like Stephen.
我们就更像斯蒂凡一样的。
Remember when he was being stoned to death?
当他们用石头把他打死的时候,
by his own people.
是他自己的犹太人。
Having been falsely accused.
而且他们都是编造了谎言来诬告他。
He looked up to heaven and saw Jesus.
他对着天堂的时候看到了耶稣。
And then he prayed, Lord, do not hold this sin against them.
他说主啊，不要归罪于他们。
He forgave.
他饶恕了。
Even his murderers.
就在这个情况之下。
And so may we meditate deeply on the gospel.
所以让我们真正地思考福音的意义。
That's why we forgive and where the strength to forgive comes from.
这就是为什么我们要饶恕，也是我们饶恕的力量的来源。
Now a second application.
然后第二个应用点。
We must forgive others repeatedly.
我们必须反复地饶恕别人。
Remember Peter's initial question.
记得彼得刚开始的问题吧。
How many times must I forgive?
我要饶恕多少次呢?
And so many times we ask ourselves, I can't believe this person did this again.
有的时候我们就想, 我真是不敢相信他又这么做了。
Sometimes it's easier to forgive the big things.
有的时候呢，大的事情反而容易饶恕。
Than the little things that happen over and over again.
但是那些小的事情，重复发生的事情，真是让我们抓狂。
And like dripping water,
就像水一滴一滴的滴下来的那个声音。
The small things build.
这些小的事情慢慢的就堆积起来。
And gradually our attitude changes toward that person.
慢慢的，我们对这个人的态度就改变了。
We become more and more critical of them.
我们就变得越来越判断。
Short with them.
然后脾气就不好。
Bitterness starts to grow.
然后苦毒在我们的心里就开始长起来。
Well, we need to hear what Jesus said at the beginning of this story.
我们要记得, 耶稣在这个开始的时候讲的那个故事。
I do not say to you up to 7 times,
他说,
but up to 77 times.
他说我说的可不是七次, 是70个七次。
We forgive again and again and again.
所以我们要一次一次一次一次又一次的饶恕。
And you know, we need to remember that we don't forgive because it's going to change someone.
我们饶恕的原因并不是为了改变别人。
It's wonderful to hear stories about how being kind and forgiving can help someone change their ways.
我们当然也听到过这样的故事，因为我们的良善，别人会改变。
Sometimes it changes people.
有的时候会改变人。
We hope it changes people.
我们也盼望他们会改变。
But that's not why we forgive.
但那个并不是我们饶恕的原因。
We forgive because God has forgiven us.
我们饶恕是因为神饶恕了我们。
And it doesn't matter how many times it takes.
所以不管有多少次，我们都可以一直饶恕下去。
Now, what should you do if it feels like someone's taking advantage?
啊，但是如果你觉得有人是以这个东西来 take advantage,
you feel like continuing to forgive them is enabling them.
哦，你觉得你不断的饶恕他们，他们反而得寸进尺，你怎么办？
Well, first, keep in mind that forgiveness is not the same thing as trust.
啊，我们一定要记住了，饶恕不是信任。
If someone repeatedly gossips about me, I'm going to be more guarded in what I share with them.
如果有人总是传谣言的话，我后面跟他讲话的时候就要谨慎一些。
Second, there is a point when church discipline comes into play.
第二点是教会的惩戒也是可以来应用的。
Someone who repeatedly sins and refuses to listen can be removed from membership in the church.
所以如果有人反复的犯罪，不愿意悔改的话，我们可以从他把从会员名单里面拿下去。
And that's an example where having elders to lead you through that process is very helpful.
在这种情况之下，教会如果有一个长老来带领这个程序的话，会非常有帮助。
But a key point is that it's not up to you as an individual to decide whether someone's repentance is legitimate.
但是最关键的是，不是我们个人的事情，不是每一个人来决定别人的悔改是不是真实合法的。
Or if they're a true Christian.
或者去问别人他是不是真的基督徒。
It's up to you to forgive from the heart.
你唯一要做的事情就是从心里饶恕。
And if they apologize to you,
如果他们对你道歉的话
，to express to them I forgive you,
认认真真的跟他们说我饶恕你。
And if they're a member of your church,
如果他们是你教会的成员的话
，to continue to love and receive them as a brother or sister in Christ,
你要持续不断的爱他，而且把他接受为你的弟兄或者姐妹。
And once again, it's the infinite grace of God to us in Christ.
我们要记住，这是。因为是神给我们的无穷的恩典
，that allows us to go on extending forgiveness again and again and again，
才让我们有可能不断的饶恕别人，一次一次又一次。
Now, a third point of application is that forgiveness is a promise to absorb the debt yourself.
第三个应用是，饶恕是一个自己愿意承担后果的一个保证。
Now, obviously, in most cases, when we're talking about forgiveness, we have in mind a moral debt, not a financial one.
当然，很明显的是，很多时候我们讲的饶恕不是关于金钱方面的，而只是讲的是道德感情方面的事情。
But Jesus here uses financial debt as a way to illustrate moral debt.
所以，但是这里呢，耶稣是用一个金钱的一个债来显示这个道德上面的债。
And it shows us that someone is absorbing the cost.
是提醒我们，总有人要承受代价。
When the king forgives 10,000 talents, it means he has to absorb that cost.
当神饶恕一千万两银子的时候，他需要付上这样的代价。
And similarly, when you forgive someone,
所以类似来说，当你饶恕别人的时候
，there's hurt and pain that they've caused you.That you're choosing to absorb.
你愿意能够承受他们给你带来的痛苦和伤害。
You're saying I'm not going to use this against you.
而说我以后不再提这个事情来指责你。
I'm not going to bring it up again.
我也不会再讲这件事情。
I'm not going to get back at you.
我不会报复你。
By making you feel how much you've hurt me.
让你感到你当年做了有多么的错。
It's forgiven.
你被饶恕。
I will absorb the hurt.
我要承受。
I will absorb the cost.
我会承受这个代价。
And note that this is a promise.
记住了，这是一个保证。
Forgiveness isn't just a one-time thing, but it has to do with the future as well.
所以饶恕不是一次性的事情，而是跟将来也相关的事情。
Because sooner or later, that sin you forgave will come to mind again.
因为早早晚晚的时候，这个事情又会回到你的脑子里。
That hurt will be stirred up.
你内心的伤害也会被挑起。
You remember what they did to you?
你又想起来。
You'll feel tempted to lash out?
你就有诱惑，有引诱要发脾气。
You want some sort of payment.
你想要讨还公道。
But you have to remember that forgiveness is a promise to keep.
但是要记住，饶恕是我们必须要守住的承诺。
It's a debt that you continue to absorb.
这是一个你不断的承受的一个债，一个代价。
And you're going to have to fight to have the right attitude toward that person.
你需要这是一个征战，你要对人要对那个人要有一个正确的态度。
Because it's not enough to just say the words but have a sour attitude.
啊，因为你不能够嘴上说，但是心里还是酸酸唧唧的。
We must forgive from the heart.
我们必须从心里来饶恕。
And that certainly won't be easy.
这当然不会容易。
It's a promise we'll all sometimes fall short in.
这是一个我们常常不能够保守住的承诺。
Sometimes we're going to have to ask forgiveness for breaking our promise of forgiveness.
有的时候呢，我们要说，请原谅我，因为我没有能够保守住我的饶恕。
But praise God, this is something He will help us in.
但是感谢主，神会帮助我们做这件事情。
This is one of the things we can pray for help with and know God will say yes to.
我们知道，如果我们祷告求这样的事情的话，神总会说好的。
If I'm sick, I don't necessarily know if it's God's will for me to get well.
如果我生病了呢，我倒不知道神要不要我好起来。
But if I'm struggling to forgive, I can pray knowing it's God's will for me to forgive.
但是如果我不能饶恕的时候，我祷告的时候，我知道这是神的意愿，愿意我要饶恕别人。
And He is always faithful to give us the grace we need to do what He's called us to do.
神会一定会凭着他的信实给我们他的恩典，所以我们可以持续的饶恕。
And that brings us to a fourth and final application.
这样呢，现在就是我们最后的一个应用。
Which is that we cannot be saved if we will not forgive.
如果我们不饶恕，我们是不会被得救的。
Now Jesus ends the parable with a very strong warning.
所以耶稣在结束的时候，他讲了一个非常严厉的警告。
So I feel like I need to end the sermon with a strong warning as well.
我认为我今天结束这个讲道的时候，我也要给你们这样的警告。
Jesus warns in no uncertain terms that if we're like the servant in the parable,
所以耶稣呢讲的时候没有一点点的含糊。
We will not go to heaven.
我们是，如果我们像那个人一样呢，我们是不会进天堂。
Now there's two ways we can interpret this.
我们有两个方法来理解这个细节。
Either the parable means that God forgives us and then takes away that forgiveness if we don't forgive.
一个理解是神先给了我们饶恕，但是呢，如果我们不饶恕的时候呢，神就把这个拿回去。
So we can lose our salvation.
所以我们可以失去我们的救恩。
Or it means that we can think we're forgiven.
第二个讲法是我们自己以为自己被饶恕了。
But if we don't forgive others,
但是当我们不饶恕别人的时候，
we'll find out on judgment day that we aren't forgiven either.
我们的审判的日子，我们就发现我们也没有被饶恕。
So forgiveness would be evidence that we're truly saved.
所以在这里来说呢，就是我们的饶恕就是我们得救的证据。
Based on other passages in the New Testament, I think that second interpretation is the right one.
根据新约里面的其他的经节呢，第二个解释更合理一些。
But the key point is that either way,
但是关键的是不管怎么样，
the inescapable conclusion,
这里有一个不可逃避的结论，
is that those who do not forgive will not be forgiven.
那些不能饶恕的人是不会被神饶恕的。
Forgiveness is a necessary fruit of the gospel.
所以饶恕是福音的一个必须的一个果实。
Jesus is saying it's impossible to receive the forgiveness of God.
耶稣说，这是不可，你是不可能得到神的饶恕。
And yet stubbornly, persistently refuse to forgive others.
得到神的饶恕之后，但仍然是固执的、持续的拒绝饶恕别人。
We may struggle to forgive.
我们也许有一些挣扎。
We may fall short at times.
也许有的时候我们会摔倒几次。
Sometimes it may take us time to forgive.
有的时候我们需要一些时间才能够饶恕。
But Christians forgive their brother.
但是作为一个基督徒，我们总是要饶恕的。
And as we close, I want to remind you of the way Jesus has baked this into the way he taught us to pray.
所以呢，最后结束的时候我要提醒你，耶稣其实已经把这一部分放在他的那个祷告里面。
In the Lord's Prayer,
在主祷文里面。
He says we should pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors.
他说免我们的债如同我们免了人的债。
Has it occurred to you that when you pray that prayer,
你有没有想过你在祷做这个祷告的时候
you're actually asking God not to forgive you if you don't forgive others?
你是跟神坦诚说请你不要原谅我如果我不能原谅别人。
You're saying, God, I want you to forgive me.
你跟神说的是神啊我要你来饶恕我。
Just like I extend forgiveness to others.
就像我饶恕别人一样。
So the same way that I freely extend forgiveness to others.
所以就像我能够自由的来饶恕别人。
Fully extend forgiveness to others.
完完全全的饶恕别人。
Repeatedly extend forgiveness to others.
反复的饶恕别人。
Well, that's the way I want you to forgive me.
这是我希望神你的这样的饶恕。
So do you forgive others as freely, fully, and repeatedly as you hope God would forgive you?
所以这样说到，难道你不愿意，自由的、完全的、重复的饶恕别人，以这样的盼望，神在这样的饶恕你自己？
And so every time we pray, may we pray like that.
所以我盼望每次我们祷告的时候，我们都这样来祷告。
You know, Jesus wants that to be this perpetual reminder when we go to God in prayer.
因为耶稣要我们有这样永久不断的提醒，每当我们到神的面前来祷告的时候。
A reminder that we stand before God with a 10,000 talent debt.
提醒我们，我们在神面前有还不清的债。
One that God graciously, freely forgives.
神充满恩典的，白白的赐给了我们。
We should never stop being amazed at that.
所以我们永远不要停止对这件事情的惊奇。
But we only have the right to ask God to forgive that.
但是我们唯一有可能来问求神这样饶恕我们。
If we can forgive the comparatively small debts of others.
如我们可以饶恕别人的小债的时候，才能够这样。
So as Christ people.
所以基督的子民们。
May we be marked above all things by forgiveness.
我盼望我每个人身上都有饶恕的标记。
May God give us grace to live this out.
让神给我们恩典来做得出来。
Amen. Let's pray.
Amen.
So Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning.
天父，我们是感谢你给我们这样的话语。
We thank you for the reminder that you are a forgiving God.
谢谢你提醒我们，你是一个饶恕的神。
Our sin is so much greater than we could possibly imagine.
我们的罪实在是大得难以想象。
But so is your grace.
但是你的恩典更大。
We pray that you would forgive us our debts this morning.
我们正是在这里祷告，求你饶恕我们的罪。
Just as we forgive our debtors.
就像我们饶恕别人一样。
And we pray that you would give us the grace to forgive our debtors.
我们祷告，求你给我们力量，让我们可以饶恕。
In the way that we need to be forgiven before you.
就像我们要被你饶恕一样。
Thank you for the grace, your grace to us in Christ.
我们真是谢谢你通过耶稣给我们的恩典。
And your grace working within us through your Holy Spirit.
愿你的恩典通过圣灵在我们心中动工。
Thank you for the privilege we have of being called your people.
谢谢你让我们可以被称为你的子民。
And be united together within your kingdom.
可以在你的天国里结合在一起。
Strengthen us to relate to one another.
可以加强我们彼此相待的心。
In a way that would glorify you.
让我们彼此相爱来荣耀你的名。
Before the watching world.
让这个世界可以看到。
And would be pleasing to you.
也能够讨你的欢喜。
As the Father of us all.
就像我们的天父一样。
We ask this in Jesus' name.
我们凭耶稣基督的名祷告。
Amen.
Amen.